The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after Trinity is written in Micah chapter 7. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in 1 Peter chapter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks comforting words to all heavy of heart and downtrodden sinners. His words work true rest and give true peace. As Jesus is recorded as saying in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." St. Luke has you hear openly that Christ is the true doctor of souls, and came for those who were sick. Jesus' words go right to the heart. And for this reason, tax collectors and sinners are drawn to hear him. Lest you miss the shock value recorded in God's Holy Scripture, these tax collectors and sinners would be the equivalent to today's big corporate embezzlers unabashed thieves, drug dealers, abortion doctors, and those connected to the porn industry. These are the kind of people who were being drawn near. But also understand they were not drawn near in an attempt to decidedly have both the sin and the spirituality too. Everybody wants to dabble in both and think that it's okay. They were not like those who justify their sins and demand that others accept them for who they are. They had heard the preaching of the law, and that word of God cut them to the heart. They were contrite, sorry, and wanted to do better. Not just better, as in let's just all get along, but better as in following God's word. This is where Christ was different than any other person they had ever heard. He offered them ointment for their wounds, gospel for their ears, food for their souls, and comfort for their burdened conscience. Through their example, you hear of who makes up the best receivers of the gospel. They are those who recognize their sin and despair of their own power and work. With such is the grace of God powerful enough to give comfort. The scribes and Pharisees had also heard the preaching of Jesus, but instead of being cut to the heart, they counted themselves righteous and pious on their own account, like Jesus explains in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. They felt they had everything they needed for salvation and didn't need to look to anyone else, even the man they knew to be the Messiah from God. The one who is well enough off on his own doesn't need to look to anyone else for help. The one who considers himself healthy doesn't look for a doctor. The one who considers himself good enough despises Christ's mercy and grace. Those have no need for the Christian church. 2 weeks ago, you heard about the rich man going to hell, wallowing in his unbelief, his hard-heartedness persevering even into eternity. The contentment of the self-assured, self-proclaimed righteous endures even in hell, as Jesus says in Matthew 25 about the sheep and the goats. The goats believe they have done everything they were supposed to do, and they demand to be judged by their works, and so they shall. The sheep are the ones who get nervous when Jesus speaks of their works, but they never kept track. Where faith is, good works necessarily happen. Don't even look for them. In these first weeks of the Trinity season, you are called upon to evaluate your sin on the basis of God's word, of course. You are to hear the law and be cut to the quick. You are to join the tax collectors, the sinners, and the sheep, and refuse to be confident in your own works. true Christian posture is one of humility, of depravity, of meekness. And as God brings you to be honest with your own sinful need, it will be reflected in how you treat others. Sick people should have a very hard time snubbing their noses at others who are sick, since they suffer from the same ailment. A cancer patient going in for chemotherapy ought to have a hard time feeling superior to a fellow patient receiving the same treatment. Sinners should be the most compassionate and empathetic toward other sinners. Yet you know you find yourselves looking down your noses at the other sinners in the world, and even looking down at your brothers and sisters in the faith who are suffering under the same burden of sin. When your brother or sister in faith is suffering from their own sin, oh, it's easy to look down on them and think to yourselves that they deserve what they get. When someone is acting poorly and saying hurtful things, oh, it's easy to chalk it up to them as being a terrible person, mean-spirited and unkind, not considering that they're hurting inside and dealing with their own personal and spiritual issues. Why do you expect more of other people than you do of yourselves? When you're full of accusations against your brothers and sisters, you unmask a self-righteousness like that of the scribes and the Pharisees. By the grace of God, be repenting and believing. God brings you to confess who you are according to your flesh. Miserable sinners, a lost and condemned person, someone who is in desperate need of grace and mercy, first and foremost from the Lord, and then also mercy from the others around you. By the grace of God, be repenting and believing. Hear the example of the tax collectors and sinners in God's Holy Scripture. By the grace of God, be continually drawn to Jesus for his word of restoration. For he is the source of comfort and peace to your conscience. He has made full satisfaction. He has atoned for all of your sins. Believe on the merits of Christ Jesus and be accounted righteous with his righteousness, just as Abraham and Paul and Peter and Augustine and Luther and all of the other believers through time. Jesus receives and eats with sinners. This accusation was meant to condemn Jesus, but it may well be one of the sweetest sentences in all of Holy Scripture. That is, as long as you consider yourself to be a sinner, then it is one of the sweetest sentences. Jesus is not ashamed to receive you. His whole intent is that you be believing in what he brings, that you would receive it, that you would receive him and the forgiveness he has won for you through faith alone you receive. He seeks out of compassion and love, because you were the lost one, not him. And upon being found, that is, when you are brought to repentance and belief, there's rejoicing in heaven. There's rejoicing before the angels of God, which means God is rejoicing, because he is the one who was behind all of the verbs. He was behind all of the restoration, all of the calling back, all of the conversion. There's joy. There's celebration. You are of value to God. A sheep isn't self-aware. It doesn't know it's worth something, or even the depth that it's loved. A coin doesn't know it's valuable. The owner and maker gives it value. Through his gift of the sacrament of holy baptism, God has brought you into his fold. He has recreated you. You are of value to him. He bought you with a price. The precious blood of Jesus is more costly than silver and gold, and yet he spilled it all for you. You were expensive to purchase. And as you go on sinning through the breaking of God's commandments, as you wander off after vain pleasures, he'll continue to pursue you because he loves you. He'll keep calling out to you through his means of grace, through his word and his sacraments, so that you would be kept rightly focused on your only place of refuge. That is the kind of love he has for you. And through faith in him and his finished merits for you, you are then brought to mirror that kind of love to those around you. Has your spouse acted selfishly again? Have your kids treated you hatefully again? Have your parents failed to take your feelings into consideration again? Has someone offended you by their inconsiderate words or actions, or you them again? Then talk to them. Seek them out. Work towards restoration. God loves them too. As there is joy in heaven over just one sinner who repents, there ought to be joy in the Christian church over one Christian who is reconciled to another. The perfect God has compassion upon habitual sinners. And as he ever continues to point to the forgiving merits of his Son, his love and compassion will surely bring sinners to show compassion and empathy toward other sinners. No, it doesn't mean sin will disappear from the world. It will remain until the last day. But God restores. As Peter was inspired to write, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. At this altar, Jesus receives and eats with you. Don't think that it's an accident that you kneel shoulder to shoulder with your fellow sheep and coins And don't think it a light thing that God and his angels in heaven rejoice to see it. Being gathered together around God's holy word and holy sacraments brings joy to God, to his angels, and to the whole company of heaven from all of the repenting and believing. To all the heavy of heart and downtrodden sinners, your joy and peace comes to draw you into himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.